We are celebrating today the Sunday within the octave of Christmas, the 8 days of Christmas, which are celebrated with the same ceremony and pomp and circumstance as Christmas Day and Christmas night itself. That's what an octave is. Every single day is the same. And so today we have the gift of the graces of this day. In addition, we see that we do as we do in the liturgy always. We travel here and there, forwards and backwards in history, in the history of salvation. Because all these mysteries have to do with the birth of the Son of God, of the ever-Virgin Immaculate Mary, in the portal at Bethlehem, where the angels were the first to greet him and salute him and worship him and praise him. And then they called forth the little ones of Israel, the shepherds and the poor of Israel, to come to him, who is born in a manger, not necessarily because they were poor, they had money, there was no room at the inn, but because he comes for all. And we see here in the representation from the magnificent Belen or creche from Spain that all of creation worships him and honors him and gives him all that belongs to the Son of God, as we have seen in the readings from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians and from the Gospel of St. Luke. And of course, everything that the evangelists, whether it be Luke or Matthew, and maybe some a little bit, John, know about this, they know it from one source only, from the source of the one who was there and who spoke to them, the Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Conception, to whom was first announced the birth of the Messiah. And so we travel back and forth in time. In the Gospel of today, we go forward to the presentation, which of course we shall celebrate on February the 2nd, which is the real end of Christmas. Not New Year's Eve, not the Epiphany, the presentation, the 40 days of Christmas. And I was happy to see that this year, maybe people have been listening to me and reading what I have written. A lot of things or posts on Facebook all say, this is not the end. The end of Christmas is February the 2nd. Now, of course, this is in the ancient rites. What they do in the other rites is not our concern. But in addition to all this, for us it is the beginning of a holy year. And if there ever were graces that are conferred here in this shrine of Our Lady of Fatima, then even more so in this holy year of grace and of salvation, this jubilee in which graces are poured out over the whole church. And of course, it used to be that you had to travel to Rome and visit the 7 basilicas and pay homage to the Supreme Pontiff, but that is, for a long time, has not been necessary, though it is obviously better. Maybe not so much today, but anyway, that is the custom. For at least since the year 1300, under His Holiness Pope Boniface VIII. And so today we remember that this is a holy year. And this idea of the holy year goes back to the Old Testament. A year of grace, when sins and debts were forgiven, when much was given to those who were in need of it. We are, of course, in need of grace, in need of forgiveness, and we need to do everything we can to earn this. It's a great gift from God, but we also need to earn this. And so today, we celebrate this Sunday within the octave of Christmas. And also today, on this calendar day of December the 29th, we remember, and it's appropriate considering what's going on in our own national history, We remember the saint, St. Thomas a Becket, St. Thomas of Canterbury. And of course, it is very important to pray for those in public office. He was a Grand Chancellor of the Kingdom of England. And he was named that because he was very good friends with the king. Well, the king made him the Archbishop of Canterbury, the primatial see of England. And then he wanted to get favors to be delivered from paying the tithe to the Pope and so forth. St. Thomas refused. He was there to serve God first, not the king. He did not stop loving the king or being his friend or paying him that homage which is necessary to pay to a king. But he was there to serve God first. And so today, of course, we pray for those of our elected officials. There is a great improvement. The country is in a lot of uproar, ethereal in a way. Let's hope it continues. But we may remember that these are mortal men. And they're not Catholics. One is, but he's not totally Catholic, even though we have been told that he does go to the ancient rite of the Mass very frequently. So he's not against us, he's for us. And so we pray for them that they may be faithful, first of all, to God. And of course, St. Thomas Becket was faithful to the king, his friend, but he was more faithful to God. So today we pray for the elected officials, and especially those who have made so many promises to bring back justice to this world, to this country. Yesterday we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and we celebrated Mass for the end of the abominable crime of abortion. That is the number one evil of this nation. There are many others, don't get me wrong. Divorce and contraception and so many other things. But abortion, the willful murder of innocence. And so we need to pray that this will be eradicated from this land, that true justice will reign. And so we pray for our elected officials, to St. Thomas a Becket, Archbishop of Canterbury and Primate of England. When he did not do what the king wanted, he complained, and there's always somebody who's trying to kiss up to the king or someone else. I know it. Some people are always trying to kiss up to me, and it doesn't really please me. And they said, okay, well, he said, I wish someone would get rid of this priest from me. And so they went on this day, and while they were celebrating solemn vespers at the Cathedral of Canterbury, somebody cut off his head, and so he became St. Thomas of Canterbury, the bishop and martyr. And so we implore his assistance in heaven for our own country, for our own selves, as we celebrate these sacred mysteries. And so, of course, we give thanks to God for our wonderful, holy Catholic faith. There's none like it, and there's nothing that can equal it in any way, shape, or form. Cherish it. Live it completely and come totally, because this is your salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.